has a dual citizenship of Brazilian and American, and Carmen has a dual citizenship of German and Brazilian, and their three children have triple citizenships, U.S., German, and Brazilian. So they can travel incognito anytime they want to.
Yeah.
All right. I am just thrilled. It's been a treat to get to know Andrew. What a brother in Christ. And so welcome, Andrew, to Mountain View.
God has been doing in Brazil and what we're able to do through him. love electricity. You plug something in, is this power come off? No, you have to go to the electrical company and remind them that you love them and that you want them to install energy in your home. And they'll send you monthly a reminder of your love for them. And you have to pay that. Otherwise, they cut the love and no energy. So it's interesting. If we stop and think about John 3:16, if the verse was only, "For God so loved the world," let's stop there. So God created us, He loves us, and it stops there. Would we have salvation? No, we wouldn't have salvation. It's interesting. Many times we don't stop and think about that. God loved, He made us, He loves us, but He went beyond that. And with missions, it's the same thing. If you just say, yeah, missions are important, I love missions, but you really don't get involved, you really don't spend time and go beyond just loving, and start taking action, you just stopped at point A. And I grew up as a missionary kid, and I saw that many times. Like, people say they love missions and everything, but it stops right there because they're indifferent to missions. They love it, but love goes always. There's an extra step beyond love. Or maybe you think, oh, no, missionaries, they want my money. And that's pretty common. It's interesting. And money is a hard thing to talk inside with our family, at church, any place, because many times we let money take the place of God in our heart. We make money become our God. We seek money. And if we stop and go back to the first point, like, who supplies everything for us? It's God. When we gave our life to the Lord, did we just say, okay, God, I want a ticket to heaven, but you let the finances, I'll take care of those because those are mine? No. When you gave your life to the Lord, you gave everything. If you hold something back, it's kind of like, yeah, you better think a little over what your salvation is based on. Is it based on just a ticket to go to heaven so you won't go to hell because down there it will be warm? No, it's because you want to go to heaven. You want to serve the Lord while you're here. And God has given us time. Like, we have a date we were born, and if the Lord doesn't come back, we'll have a date we die. And we're responsible for that time. And the only thing we have is time when you think about it. When you work, what are you doing? You're selling your time for X amount. When you decide to come to church, you're wasting your time. When you decide to do anything, you're spending your time. And the only thing we have to give to the Lord is our time. You stop and think. The richest man on the earth, the poorest man on earth, they have the exact same amount of minutes in the day. You stop and read in the Bible about John the Baptist. Says that there was no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And how did he live? Did he live like a rich guy, an important person? No. If he lived nowadays, we would be like, he needs a home. He needs to be cleaned up. He needs a meal. And he would eat grasshoppers and honey. I wouldn't like that meal. It's interesting that our salvation is not based on that. And we have to remember that when we get involved with missions, it's sacrificial. When we continue on John 3:16, it says that God, He gave His only begotten Son. It was sacrificially. Was it easy, do you think, for God to send His Son to earth to die for our sins? He had no sin, but even though He didn't have any sin, He died for us. It was sacrificially. And it's not easy. And when you start serving the Lord, sacrificially you do it. Because people will not like what you're doing. They will go against it. You will lose friends. You will have to invest money. You will have to invest time. It's not easy. I know when I grew up a missionary kid, but it wasn't like I grew up a missionary kid, I'm a missionary kid. No. When I was about 15, I felt the Lord calling in my heart, like, I want you in missions. But I didn't know when or where, so I continued on studying. I went to vet school in Brazil. I finished off here in Washington State University. I worked as a veterinarian up here in the States for a while. I went back to Brazil, had two import companies, and things were going well. Until one day, the Lord called me, showed me clear, I want you in missions and full time. So it's one of those things you pray for just to keep off your conscience. Lord, use me. Use me, but you really don't want an answer. It's kind of like, yeah, you can just, I'm praying that, but don't answer that right now. I'll take care of that because you must be busy. But the Lord one day just said, I want you in missions. And it was not easy. It's easy when it's for the person beside you. Yeah, John over here, he wants to go on missions. God bless you. Good good luck, because I'm not helping you. Yeah, that happens quite often, but I know that it's worth living a life according to what God wants you to live. It's not easy, I can assure you that, because I had two import companies that took me about 2 years to get them going. When they started to be lucrative, money started coming in, the Lord called me, and a lot of people said, keep the companies going and just be a missionary on the side. But God showed me, no, I want you to close everything and go full time. It's like I'm a parent. I have to supply the need for my family. Just stepping out of assurance, like if you work, you make money. If you don't, you don't. Like missionaries, they depend on the church and the body of Christ to supply their needs. God could supply the needs. I could go out there in the van we're using, be all gold, and just chip a little piece off every month and pay our bills. But God decided to use his church to supply the needs. So if you have that concept, I would say just think about it and see what God has put in your hands. You can say, but there's no place in the Bible that says that we should supply for missionaries. And the Bible says, oh, you only have to give 10% of what you get or what you want to give to the Lord. The Bible also says that God will supply food for you to eat and clothes for you to dress. I'm sure that God supplies for almost everybody here a lot more than that. And how much have you been giving back to God? we started serving the Lord full-time in 2015. And we're in Brazil, South America. It's interesting that Brazil, continental-wise, is almost the same size as the U.S., but we have less than half the population. So it's a big country, and all the countries that surround us speak Spanish, and we speak Portuguese. And it's interesting that that's a barrier, because Brazilians usually don't learn Spanish, because they want to learn English, because English is the first world language, and Spanish are the four countries. Like, nobody wants to go to a poor country. Everybody wants to come up to the States or to England. So they all learn Portuguese and English usually. So we live in the central Brazil in the city called Três Ranchos, about 160 miles from the capital, which is Brasilia. We speak Portuguese. For you not to forget that, you just have to remember pork and cheese. So we eat pork and cheese down there. It's Portuguese, yeah. That's what we speak. We serve at Camp Victoria. Camp Victoria is based on the lake margin, so it's a hydroelectric lake. The water goes up and down. The water goes up to the vegetation, comes down there during the year, depending on the rain and everything else. And we're there to serve churches like you and just give them a place where people can go, be still, and listen to the Lord. It's interesting. When we get to our busy lives, I'm sure that all of you have some plans that when you leave here, you have errands to do, you have everything up, put it all there and back, put a tarp down, and the kids always ask, what's behind the tarp? Like, they have all sorts of ideas. There's a car, there's a boat, there's a dinosaur. No, I just tell them, it's junk that I haven't thrown away yet. It's all hidden there. So we started out in the garage, and we started out with five kids. And two of them were our kids, so really three kids. We started out very simple, cleaned everything out, put everything behind the tarp, and put a piece of cloth on the floor. And it's interesting. Many times, well, when we were planning, we would think, well, we need to do this, have this, do this other thing. But we saw we didn't have the resources to do that all, so we said, just start what we have in hand. So we just started very simple, but the Lord was faithful and sent the kids. The next Saturday we had it, we had 10 kids, so double. Yeah, that's going pretty good, from 5 to 10. One day it was raining really hard. We thought, nobody's coming. Should we fix everything up? And we did our part. We fixed it, and usually we start 3 o'clock and go until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and God did his part. We had about 15 kids there, and the rain was very heavy. 2:50, it stopped raining. The kids came. Yeah, good thing we were prepared to receive them. And the last